Today is Wednesday, March 20th, Yud Adar. We are in the week of Purim, and we actually have something, we'll have a little Purim surprise at the end of this year in one of the Makorot. So this is Shir is based on a very famous Rashi, which is based on the Gemara. We're going to see it all. So it's Vayikra, all about Korbanot. So we have to really dig in sometimes to find the interesting things. And here we see that the way the parsha begins, it says, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem. When a man, in the Hebrew, again to repeat, it's an Adam, is the word for man, brings a sacrifice to the Lord. La min habehema, min habakar, umin hatzon. So the three different types of mammals, whether it's cattle, animals, cattle, or from the flock. Takrivat korbanchem, you should bring your sacrifice. And then it continues to say that it's a reach nichoach l'Hashem. It's a pleasing scent to God. I think actually maybe I took out the makor that was relevant to that, but that's in there. Okay, and then it goes on to talk about birds and different kinds of living things. And then finally, in Perek Bet, but it's all the same topic, it's all talking about these voluntary korbanot. It says, v'nefesh ki takriv korban. So the first one was all under the heading of Adam, a man. And now this one is a nefesh, which it, the Chabad.org translates as person. It translates literally as soul, although it is used as person. The Shiv'im nefesh that came to Mitzrayim, the 70 souls that came to Egypt. So their nefesh obviously is person as well. But it also has the meaning of soul. So a nefesh ki takriv korban mincha. So when a person brings a mincha offering, and a mincha is a vegetarian offering, it's made of flour, fine flour, it says. Mincha l'Hashem, solet ye korbano, his offering shall be of fine flour. There's actually a machloket among the commentators whether it's fine flour or coarse flour. And we're going to see how that's relevant in one of the commentaries. So here it's translated as fine flour, which obviously would be more expensive than coarse flour. He shall pour oil over it, v'yatzak ala ha-shemen, v'natan ala ha-levona, and he should also place frankincense on it. So the animal korbanot look like it's just the animals, but this mincha, the flour korbanot, looks like it has two additions of oil and frankincense. Okay, so Mishnah in Masachet Menachot. So obviously Masachet Menachot is about the mincha, korban. And it's stated with regard to an animal burnt offering. Oh, this was why I highlighted Reach Nichoach L'Hashem, that it's a pleasing korban to God. And also here in the mincha, it's also a Reach Nichoach L'Hashem. It's a pleasing scent to God. So it's restated with regard to an animal burnt offering, a fire offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. And with regard to a bird burnt offering, a fire offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. And with regard to a meal offering, a fire offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The repetitive language employed concerning all of these different offerings is to say to you that one who brings a substantial offering, which would be the animals, the big mammals, and one who brings a meager offering, which according to the Mishnah here seems to be the mincha, but it's not specified, offering have equal merit, provided that he directs his heart toward heaven. So whatever a person is able to bring, whether it's a wealthy person bringing cattle, a middle-class person bringing a bird, or a poor person, as we're going to see, bringing a flower offering, they are all pleasing scents, aromas to God, and all that matters to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what's in your heart, and that you direct your heart to heaven. Okay, and now we have Psikta Zutra, v'nefesh ki takriv korban mincha l'Hashem, so a soul, again, or a person that brings this flower offering, made of fine flour, will be his korban. Tuvayu b'Rabbi Eliezer, zatzal, amar, arba l'shanot dibra Torah. The Torah uses four different languages. Ish is a gentleman, I like to translate ish. Adam is just a man. Nefesh, living thing, and basar is flesh. Adam, this midrash says, is an acronym for Afar Dam Mara, dust, blood, bitterness. okay? Not a very high status of a person. Basar is an acronym for busha, srucha, rima, shame, stinky, and creepy crawly worms. Okay, again, not the best image. V'ika da amre busha sheol rima. And there are those who say instead of stinky, because basar appears sometimes with a sin and sometimes with a samach. So if it's a sin, sheol, which is like the underworld, and creepy crawly things, dichtiv b'shin, because we rewrite it with a shin. Nefesh, on the other hand, the soul, nikia prusa shlema. Nefesh is clean and separated and complete. B'korbanot amra Torah Adam. So when it comes to the korbanot, the Torah first uses the word Adam. Ki akriv mikam korban le Hashem min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, u-min ha-tzon. Because he brings the korban to Hashem from the beast and from the cattle and from the flock. V'im min ha-of, and also from the birds. Kulam yesh van tzad ha-shaveh le-adam. All of these living things have something that is similar or equal to a person. Afar, dust, dam, also blood, and mara, bitterness. Yavi adam et ela lifnei Hashem. He will bring these things before God because they are similar to him as an adam. V'yitkaperlo, and then he'll be atoned. Yavo dam adom v'yitkaper al chatat adomim. He'll bring the red blood of the korban, and he'll be atoned for his Edomite-like sins, which is maybe violent-type sins, murder. And b'menachot, but when it comes to the mincha, namar nefesh ki takriv, it uses language of the soul. Ma nefesh nikia, just as the soul is clean, af ha-minchat, solet, in the offering of the fine flour, nikia, is clean. So I think that this is an amazing source for vegetarians to argue for being a vegetarian, although might not be as effective at cleansing the Edomite sins because there's no red blood. Okay, now we're going to see the Gemara, which you may have heard. It's what the famous Rashi in this Parsha, and since there's not so many interesting things in these Parshas, you're more likely to be familiar with the more interesting Rashis. So the Gemara cites another comment about the fact that the Torah introduces the voluntary meal offering by emphasizing that it is brought by an individual. Rabbi Yitzchak says, for what reason is the meal offering different from other offerings in that the term an individual, that's how they're translating nefesh here, is stated with regard to it? The Holy One, blessed be He, said, whose practice is it to bring a meal offering? It is that of a poor individual. And I would ascribe to him credit as if he offered up his soul, nefesho, in front of me. So what all of these mikorot have in common, they're almost apologetics for the mincha, which from it seems is a much lower level, both in terms of price, cost, effort to bring as a korban than an animal. But because we associate this mincha with poor people who can't afford animals or birds, we, again, are almost being apologetic for the poor person and saying, no, understand that even though he can't bring something as precious, as valuable as an animal, his korban is just as desired and accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we understand the sacrifice that the poor person made in order to bring this simple offering of flour and water. Rashi repeats basically the Gemara there. Okay, then we have the Kliyakar. Rav Ephraim Lifshitz, 1500s in Prague, and Safari had the English. So when a person brings, God says, who usually brings a meal offering? A poor man. I consider it as if he has sacrificed his soul, quoting from the Gemara we read. For this reason, it says in Parshat Tzav, next week's Parsha, it must be eaten as matzah, the bread of poverty, lechem oni, that represents a poor man who is lowly by nature, like the matzah dough, which does not rise. This provides a basis for explaining the verse's order in this section. The first ones mentioned are the most prone to sin, because anyone who is wealthier or more honorable than others has a greater urge to sin. And I think I've heard before that the Kliyakar really did give a lot of mussar, rebuke, to wealthy people to try to keep them in line. So this is in line with his own value system. A proof of this is what it says if a share, a leader, sins. It's actually a great pasuk and a great Rashi there, where he says, happy are the... So the word asher, the Kli Yakar is arguing that it means the expression asher connotes certainty. Rashi there jumps on the fact that asher is similar to osher, ashrei, happiness. Happy is the generation that has a leader that admits to his sins, that he brings a korban, which is very relevant to today's world. This is because his leadership role makes him more prone to sin, since his urges are greater than others. Therefore, it mentions first the calf, which is usually brought by a rich man, and afterwards mentions sheep, then birds, and finally the meal offering that is brought by the poorest of the poor, who would have a much lower desire for sinning. Okay, the Torah of Moshe, this is the Chatam Sofer, and this was really fun for me to learn because I made a lot of discoveries that I'm going to tell you about. He's quoting our same pasuk, and then he quotes the Rashi, he quotes the Gemara, Mi makriv mincha ha'oni, who brings a mincha, is an oni, a poor person. V'hikshe mori behafla'a. So he says his teacher had difficulty on this Rashi, behafla'a. So when I first read this, I thought that he was saying his teacher had a difficulty in wonderment, because that's what hafla'a usually means, some kind of pella. A wonder. The cell phone in Hebrew is called a pelephone. It's a wonder phone. So that's how I read it. But then I was a little confused by Morvi, my teacher. So I tried doing a little search on who the Chatam Sofer's teacher was. I didn't come up with anything. And then on a completely different, totally different note, I was reading something completely different. I don't even think it was in preparation for this shiur. I think it was something else, where it quoted a rabbi who's wrote a book called the Hafla'a. So sure enough, I looked him up, and this was the Chatam Sofer's teacher. And I think I maybe have his bio. Yeah, Rabbi Pinchas, son of Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Halevi Horowitz, and he was born in Poland in 1730 to a rabbinical family, and he was a rabbi of Nicholsburg, and his brothers became students of Rav Dov Berab Mezrich, a disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. And he had close ties with Rav Yechezkel Lander, author of the Noda Behuda, Rav Natan Adler, Frankfurt Amen, and a mentor of Rabbi Moshe Schreiber, the Chatam Sofer, and other Hasidic leaders. So that is his teacher. But the problem was, this is the source where he cites it, and it's not called Hafla, which is a different source. I think it's halachic works. His source on Chumash is called the Panim Yafot. So it's sort of like if you were going to quote the Chafetz Chaim, something he said in the Mishnah Brura, because neither of those are his name, and they're both the names of his works. So you can see how it would be a little confusing, but I was really happy to figure out that that's who the Hafla'a was, and that's who the teacher of the Chatam Sofer was. And in any case, you can, if you want to read it on your own, it's there in the source sheet, but I'm just including the Chatam Sofer's very short summary of it. And he says, so his difficulty on Rashi and on the Gemara as well is Hafreda Echad Shel Tor, one little gosling of a dove. I don't know if that's an oxymoron, if a gosling is a goose, but whatever, a baby bird. O ben Yona, or a dove, eno shave kmo asirita efa solet v'shemen v'livona l'mincha. So the price of a baby bird is not equal to the price of a tenth of fine flour with oil and with frankincense. So he's saying actually it's the reverse order, that a poor person would be bringing a bird because that would be the cheapest thing on this list. And that's his difficulty. V'nira li, but now the Chatam Sofer is saying, ki hamakriv bal chai hasvara notin nefesh taka nefsho shel adam. So it appears to me that the one who brings a living thing, the reasoning is he gives a soul in place of the soul of the man. And this is a famous Ramban on Korbanot, that when you bring the Korban, you should envision it's your own body on the altar. And that's really what you deserve. So the mincha is plant-based. It's flour. and it doesn't have a soul, a living soul. Amru Chazal, Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishalo. So this is a quotation from a Midrash, from Midrash Rabbah. And it says, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Zera, the Holy One, blessed be He, too, added one atonement of His own. So that's how the Gemara translates, Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishalo. He added one atonement of His own. This was really bothering me when I was reading this translation. And we'll see that somebody else addresses this, which was really exciting. Because levater really means to give up. When you talk about somebody being mevater, they're like ignoring their own ego, giving up, and letting somebody else do something that they might have wanted to do. They're mevater. You'll hear in Israel a lot of parents like saying to the older sibling, you have to be mevater to your younger sibling. So Hashem basically gave up, or in this case, added one atonement of His own. And what is that? That's the tenth of an ephah. That's the mincha korban. So the mincha korban was kind of like an additional way of seeking atonement that wasn't part of the original list. It was added later, according to this midrash. V'ha'ani hazeh, afal pi shehamincha biyoker yoter mipreda achat. So this poor person who's able to bring the mincha, even though the mincha is more expensive than one bird, v'gam einenu nefesh, and even though it's also not a soul, it's not a living thing, ach malo lasot, v'ein lo pruta liknot predachat. What can the poor person do? He doesn't have a single pruta, a coin, to buy one bird. And now here is where it's really beautiful what he's saying and how it kind of made me rethink how we might judge people that we know are poor if we see them doing something that isn't poor person behavior. This is really beautiful. Ach kemach solat v'shemen yeshlo mileket shichacha upeah shalo. So how does he get the flour, the poor person? He didn't spend the money on the flour. He didn't buy it. He got the flour from the three commands of the farmer of his field to leave off for the poor people. So leket, when they're harvesting and some of it falls, less than three sheaves fall, they can't pick it up. That has to be left for the poor people. Shichacha, whatever you forgot in the field overnight. And peah, leaving over the corner of your field. All of these things are for the poor people. And that's how the poor person gets the flour. Whereas there really isn't a way for poor people to just randomly go collect birds or animals. That what they can collect is the flour. V'hu mekametz mimachlo. He then takes a handful from his own food that he's collected. U'makriv. And he brings a korban. Harei makriv nafsho. It's as if he is bringing his nefesh, his soul. Be'emet, truly. Shemitane u'mema'et chalbo v'damo yom echad. Because he's taking from his very meager supplies of what he has apportioned for himself to eat on a daily basis, and he won't have what to eat for one day. V'halivona, so now you think, but what about the spices? That sounds expensive. Spices are expensive. So frankincense, amru chazal, shegadal be'eretz Yisrael, that frankincense grew wild in the land of Israel. V'izlim ochlimoto, and goats eat it. K'dechtiv behaftarat ha-shavua, and this is great hashkacha, that it's actually written and referenced in the haftorah for this week from Yeshayahu Perek Mem Gimel. Lo hagiyaticha b'levona, neither did I overwork you with meal offerings, nor did I weary you with frankincense. So it's like a weed that grows in the grass, so it's very easy to procure. V'yechol l'lkot oto min ha-hefker, you can gather it from that which people leave aside for anybody to take. It has no ownership, or not even people leave aside. It literally has no ownership. Min ha-ye'arot u'midbarot, from the forests in the wilderness. Al-kein kativ nefesh b'mincha. And that's why it says nefesh when it comes to the mincha. So he gave us a lot of added insight about what it means for a poor person to bring his flour as a korban. Okay, haktav v'hakavla, 1800s, Rav Mecklenburg, a friend of the Malbim. Also Prague, I think. Maybe Czechoslovakia. Maybe they're the same. Sorry. V'nefesh, tergem onkelos v'anash. So how does onkelos translate nefesh into Aramaic? Anash, which is the same as ish, as we saw in the Chabad translation. Lefi sha'adam bal b'chira v'raton, because a man has choice and will. V'nefesh yishamash al haratzon. And the term nefesh is used when we talk about man being a person of will and desire. Kamo yesh et nafshechem. And this is from Avraham's bargaining with the over the Ma'arat Machpelah, with the people of Chet. And he says to them, if it's your will, yesh et nafshechem, if you want to bury my dead from before me, listen to me and bring me to Ephron so he can buy the Mara. Korban mincha, shem mincha yishamesh gam al hamas ha'arnoni haniten min ha'eved el yad hamoshel. So he says mincha, this term is not used just used for korbanot, it's also used for the tax that the servant would give to the ruler, the one who rules over him. And the example was in Shmuel Bet, Batim Moav leDavid laAvadim nosei mincha. So when David conquered the people of Moab, they were to him as servants, carriers or givers of the mincha. That's what it's called, the taxes that they owed him. Ve'ilo Hoshea Eved ve'yashev li mincha. So this is in Malachim Bet, when Hoshea, who was one of the kings of Israel, was no longer paying taxes to the Assyrian rulership, and they imprisoned him, and they had to give, and then Hoshea had to give him a mincha, again, this tax. Mizeh nirali shehu mishorash noach. So it seems to the Haktav Kabbalah that mincha comes from the same shorash as the word nach or noach. Shehorato gam ha-hashpela, that this is the lowering of something. Vehoradan, going down milamala lamata, from above to below. Kamo ka'asher yaniach yada v'gavar amalek. This is a pas v'shehu hefech yarim yado. This is from Bishalach when the Jewish people are fighting Amalek. And when Moshe Rabbeinu would lower his hands, Amalek would then be stronger. And it's the opposite of when he would lift his hands, and the Jews, Bnei Yisrael, would win. And therefore, he infers from this root of mincha being noach, of being lower, that giving a mincha is a way for a servant to show his lowliness to his master. Your Rebbe shiflat madrigato neged mi shenit ale alev. It shows the humbleness, humility of his level with regard to the one who is above him in level. And then he gives some Yiddish words, dedication, submission. L'kavanazo, and with this intent, yishamesh shem mincha b'shiluach gam al kol matana hanetuna mi'adam l'chaviro. And we also use the word mincha, and whenever you're sending a gift to from one man to his friend, kamo mincha le'esav achiv. So the word mincha is used when Yaakov sends all the gifts to Esav before they have their reunion with the 400 men. That's called a mincha. Shevatza Yaakov leharot le'ne Esav shehu nichna tachtov mechabdo ka'adon al ha'eved. Because Yaakov wanted to show in the eyes of Esav that he was submissive under him and that he honored him like a master on a servant. And this is the opposite of somebody when you want to honor somebody with a gift and show them honor. I mean, yeah, that you're not showing your lowly status, but you're above them giving them a gift, not the lowly giving the one above them a gift. And that word is maset. And the example is with Binyamin, before Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and they're having a meal together, it says, Vayisa masot mi'et panav alehem v'terev maset Binyamin. He gives all the brothers gifts and he gives Binyamin an increased gift from all of them. And that's because maset comes from the word of lifting up as opposed to mincha, which is bringing down. And then he says, "Uledvarav matanutam shekaru razal tefila she'achar chatzot hayom b'shem tefilat mincha." And now he's going to give his theory of the etymology of why mincha, the davening after noon, is called mincha. Ki mechatzot hayom be'ilach hashemesh shokat mimamada be'emtza harekia u'mishapelet ve'oredet lamata ad gemar shkiata. Because what happens in the afternoon? The sun starts going down from its standing in the middle of the firmament, and it's lowered and lowered down, going down until it finishes, until it finally sets. Domel Militzat Rafahayom Larov. Now the day has weakened to set. From Shoftim, this is the horrible story of the Pilagish Bagiva. Vihine Ha'ani, and so back to the poor person and the Nefesh, Shabetore Khan, whose house is empty, Vein Bayado Miyamo, he has nothing in his hand, Lahakriv Mem Enu, to bring as a korban. Rak Asirita Efa, he only has a tenth of an Efa of flour. And this small amount he brings to Hashem. So obviously this disagrees with the Hafla'ah, who thought that flour was very expensive. He's showing in this the greatness of his submission, even more so than the rich person who brings a cow or a bull. And therefore, on this offering that is very small in its amount, hunach shem, korban mincha. That's why it's called the korban mincha, sacrifice. So when we talk about, we usually translate korbanot as sacrifice, but it's really not, because a korban is an offering. Only with regard to the mincha of a poor person would we translate a korban as a sacrifice, as somebody actually giving up something, as opposed to a korban, which has the connotation of karov, close, that you're not giving anything up when you bring a korban, you're actually gaining closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in the case of the mincha, the poor person actually is sacrificing something, giving something up. And that is why the rabbi said, mi darko lehitnatev mincha, whose way is it to offer a mincha? The poor person. Okay, oh, and that was also in English, sorry. Okay, ayala tashachar, v'nefesh ki takriv, Piresh Rashi, so that's, we already know what Rashi said. Rashi medayak liktov mi darkoli hitnatev, but Rashi changes a little bit. He says, who is its way to offer? Mishum shagam asher yecholi hitnatev mincha. A rich person can also bring a mincha offering. Ela she'inza darko, but that's not his way. If a rich person is going to bring an offering, he's going to bring a bull. V'hine haramban le'el, the Ramban above, mefereh she'inyan korbanot hu she'yachshov ha'adam be'asoto et kol ha'avodot, so this is what I said before, that the Raman says that when the whole matter of korbanot is that the person will think while he's doing all of this service that he's the one who should have his blood being spilled. And therefore, for every korban, it should have on it as if he's bringing his soul, because that's his responsibility when he brings a korban, to envision that he himself is on the altar being sacrificed. We need to think about that at every korban. But with regard to the poor person, the ani doesn't have to think too hard to feel that way. The ani, in giving anything from his property, that's his very existence. He is offering his soul. B'midrash Rabba, Mubama Aset Im Agrippus HaMelech. So there's a midrash in Midrash Rabba about Agrippus, who is Roman king. And here we're going to read it in English from the midrash. He shall split it by its wings. This is talking about a bird, korban, but shall not separate. Rabbi Yochanan said, the common man, if he smells the odor of wings, he is disgusted, right? Have you ever, this is more for the women, accidentally a strand of hair fell on the burner when you're using your stovetop, and it has the worst smell ever. So imagine a whole bunch of feathers, what that smells like. Okay, gross. So that's a really weird thing. So if he smells the odor of wings, he's disgusted. And you say the priest shall burn everything on the altar? Why to that extent? Why is the Kohen burning the feathers? It is rather so that the altar will be adorned with the offering of a poor person. So this might be where the Hafla gets the idea that the bird is actually cheaper than the flour, because they make a big deal of burning everything with the bird, including the feathers, even though it stinks, so that the offering of the poorer person who brings a bird will look full. King Agrippa sought to sacrifice 1,000 burnt offerings on one day. He sent and came to the high priest, let no man other than me bring an offering today. So he's like, you know how annoying it is for those of you who are local and you want to go to the one of the restaurants here, and then you find that somebody reserved it for themselves. So that's what it's like. A certain poor person came with 2 turtle doves in his hand. So again, this might also be for the Hafla, who says that the turtle doves are cheaper. He said to the priest, sacrifice these. He said to him, the king commanded me and said to me, let no man other than me bring an offering today. He said to him, my lord high priest, each day I trap four birds and I sacrifice two and support myself from two. If you do not sacrifice them, you are cutting off my sustenance. So he thinks, this is very interesting, just think about what he's saying. He's able to catch four birds and he feels like his entire sustenance is based not on the two birds that he sells, that he supports himself from, but on the two birds that he sacrifices. He says, you're cutting off my sustenance by not allowing me to bring these two other birds as an offering. So the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, took them and sacrificed them. Agrippa, the king, had a vision and a dream. The offering of a poor person preceded you. So God tells on the Kohen Gadol to Agrippa. He sent and said to the high priest, did I not command you, let no other man than me bring an offering today? He said to him, my lord the king, a certain poor person came with two turtle doves in his hand. He said to me, sacrifice these. I said to him, the king commanded me and said to me, let no other man other than me bring an offering today. He said to me, my lord high priest, each day I trap four birds and I sacrifice two and support myself from two. If you do not sacrifice them, you are cutting off my sustenance. Should I not have sacrificed them? He, the king, said, everything that you did well. So this explanation of the Kohen Gadol somehow convinced the king, more so than the dream he had, that it was the right thing to do. Okay, so now we're going to see what the Ayal Teshachar, how he analyzes this. Mimaseh de Agrippas HaMelech chazinan de liskot b'mitzvot lo zochim al yedei shirotzeh shemishu acher lo yiskeh ha-mitzvah. So from this incident of Agrippas, the king, we see that in order to merit from the mitzvot, you don't merit on them if you want that somebody else can't merit on the mitzvah. That's not how you merit. Ela misha libo boteach legamrei b'kadosh baruch hu v'holech b'tzmimut. Rather, one who trusts his heart completely in God and walks with purity. Mihine Agrippas lo asa kedin. Agrippas wasn't doing... He didn't. That's not how you should act. Mishum zchuto lehakriv kama korbanot shirotzeh. Yes, it's his right to bring as many korbanot as he wants. Aval eino rashai lomar shelo yakrivu korbanot shel acharim. But he has no authority to say that the Kohen Gadol can't bring the korbanot of others. V'chein haKohen Gadol lo asa kedin. Also, the Kohen Gadol didn't act properly. De'afal pi detznan, even though we learn in the Mishnah and all the other days, if the high priest wishes to sacrifice any of the offerings, he sacrifices them as the high priest sacrifices any portion that he chooses first and takes any portion that he chooses first. So it seems like he does have some choice about what he brings as a korban. Mikol makom ein lo rashut lo latet l'acherim lakriv. He does not have the right to not allow other people to bring korbanot. Dehu mimuna l'hakriv, because he was appointed to bring offerings. Velo shelo l'hakriv, and not to not bring offerings. Ela demistama pachad mehamelech v'chashash misakanat nefashot u'mishum kach lo ratza lakriv. We can give the Kohen Gadol an excuse that he was terrified of the king and that the king would kill him, and that's why he didn't want to bring the poor person's korban. Not because he had the right to do that, but he was scared. V'tzarich biur, we need to look into it. Ma Agrippas hevin l'achar shesiper lo ha-ma'aseh yoter milifneken. What did Agrippas understand after he told him of the incident, more so than before him, just from the dream? Agrippas knew from the dream itself, from the beginning, that we were talking about a poor person. Because the dream was explicit in saying the offering of a poor person came before you. And Agrippas for sure knew that you need to have mercy on poor people. And despite this knowledge, he said to the high priest, why did you transgress on what I said to you? And why did Agrippa's son change his mind? And after the Kohen Gadol told him the entire incident, he said, it's good what you did. What became new to him? It seems that a person, in any situation he's in, always thinks he's right. And that which what he has, he deserves. And even more so, on the contrary, he thinks he deserves even more than what he has. V'hine regilim lachshov dekochi ve'otzem yadi zeh kesh'adam somech al kli nashek v'kiduma she'ishlo. And we're used to thinking that it's through my strength and the strength of my hand, that's a pasuk from Devarim, of what's going to happen to us when we stop being thinking God gives us everything, and that a person relies on his weaponry, and similar to that, that he has. Aval ha'emet, dekol adam ha'choshev she'ishlo, ki hu mukshar mutzlach, and but the truth is that every man who thinks that he has what he has because he's talented and he's successful, ve'acharim she'einam mutzlachim ein lehem, and other people who aren't successful, they don't have, zehu kochi ve'otzem yadi. This is the same thing as a person who thinks it's only because of my hand that I have et ha'chayel has all of these riches, not attributing anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all human. V'hine ha'ani hazeh she'amar le'kohen. And behold, this poor person who said to the Kohen, Im ein ata makrivan ata chotech parnasati, if you don't bring my offering, you are cutting off my sustenance. He'amin shechayav hem b'schut korbanot. He believed, the poor person believed, that his entire life was in the merit of his offerings, his korbanot. Dim lo kein lama amar ata chotech parnasati. Because if that wasn't the case, why would he have said, you're cutting off my sustenance? V'ki im lo yakriv hayom shnei torim tachtach parnasato, that if he doesn't offer his two turtle doves, he will cut off his sustenance. Ve'hakoyin gadol ra'asha adam zeh, and the high priest saw that this man margish shekol chayav hem b'schut ha'karbanot. He sincerely feels that his entire life is in the merit of his offering that he offers. Ve'af al pi shemakriv rak shnei torim, and even though he's only offering two turtle doves, he is only alive in the merit of this mitzvah. And that's what he showed to Agrippas, that he commanded that you don't bring the offering of others, he can't compare to this person who gives of his soul for this mitzvah. The poor person felt that this was in his entire life. Umishum kach, and it's because of this, Agrippas hodeh, that Agrippas admitted. Ve'amar lekoin yafeh she'asita, and he said to the coin, it's good what you did. Demistam ani ha'otzeh levi korban lo haya mitfa'el. If it was just some random poor person that wanted to bring a korban, Agrippas wouldn't have been impacted. He wouldn't have been affected. He still would have been angry. Aval mi'adam kazeh ha'moser atzmo legamrei. But from this man who gives himself over completely, umargish shekol chayav hem rak kiyum hamitzvot, and feels that his entire life is only in fulfilling the mitzvot, gam elef korbanot sheakriv lo magim lezeh. Even 1,000 offerings that Agrippas had wanted to bring solely by himself doesn't reach this level of this poor man. V'hevein lama korbano shel oni kadmo. And then he understood why the offering of the poor person came before him. Okay, again, beautiful story of the difference, stark difference between a very rich man and a very poor man, and how the poor man really is able to feel on a level that the rich man can't, that it's his very soul that he's offering. Okay, Mishnah Schir. We've read from him before, Yisachar Shlomo Tachtal. Hungarian, very tragic story, how he was killed in the Holocaust, but he wrote a very famous book, Em Habanim Smecha, where he changed his mind with regard to Tzionut Zionism. So, again, on our pasuk, again quoting the Rashi, V'nira b'bivur divrei Rashi, so now he's going to analyze the words of Rashi, Im ki divrav zal muvanim gam lafi pshutan. We can understand his words according to this simple meaning, but we can find an even more beautiful intention in his word, in his holy words, behekdem divrei hagaon biarat devash, in the introduction of the words of the genius Rav Ebshetz, who wrote the Yarot HaDevash, bibior midrash Yalkut, in explaining the midrash on the Yalkut on Yeshayahu, and this is the pasuk: seek the Lord where he is found, the wicked shall give up his way, call him when he is near, and call him when he is near. The man of iniquity his thoughts, and he shall return to the Lord, who shall have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Bidarshu b'midrash zehu asirit ha'efa. So We understand this pasuk to be referring to the tenth of an ephah, Shaviter HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishalo Ad Kan. That, and again, we quoted this Gemara before, that God gave up, or he gave from his own, and that was the ephah, the mincha. So remember, we quoted that Gemara before, that this was like an additional thing that God gave over beyond the animals in terms of the korbanot. V'katav ha-ga'on zal, so I think he's quoting that Rabbi Eveshitz, l'faresh ki noda ma shekatuv ha-mafrashim b'korbanot, kain v'hevel, sh'sha'ah Hashem l'korban hevel v'lo l'kain. So the first time we see the word mincha used in the Torah is when Kain gives over a mincha, a gift to Hashem. And then Hevel sees this and he gives an offering as well. And we see that God favors Hevel's offering and he does not go to Kain's offering. Kain's is neglected. So he's explaining, V'atam ki akorban hu tzmurat adam v'adam murkav michomer v'ruchani. So the reason is that an offering is in place of a person, and a person is combined from material and spiritual. V'tzarich ha-korban gam kem liot murkav miruach chayim v'geshem. And so the korban, in representing a person, also has to be combined from spirit, the spirit of life, and also physicality, material. L'chach yuchshar behema asher nefesh ruach chayim bekirbo. And therefore, the animal is prepared, that which has a living soul in a living soul inside of it. L'chach sha'a sham lehevel hayito mitzon. And that's why God leaned towards Hevel's korban, which was a sheep. Aval kain shevi tzmachim, but Kain who brought plants, the Midrash said it was flax, shehu rak chomer v'geshem, that this is just made of material and material, mibli chalek haruchani, without any spiritual aspect, im kein ein zeh tzmurat adam, this can't be in place of a person, ki adam murkav miruchani gam kein, because man has this spiritual soul element as well. V'yesh kan me'eshela, im kein korban mincha asireit efa, ech yukshar lekorban. And now we have this question, how can a mincha, which is only plant-based, how can that possibly be prepared as an offering? Huzekmo korban kain. It's like Kain's korban, which God did not respond to. Aval hachuvahi ki chalek ruchani la'ashem. The answer is that the spiritual part is God's. Dichtiv, as it says in Tehillim, hashamayim shamayim la'ashem. The heavens are for God. Ve'adam noten hageshem. And man gives the material. The Hashem noten haruach, and God gives the spirit. Ve'im kein anize she'ein lo lehakriv, ve'Hashem l'rov chemlato chomel alav. So he has nothing living to bring as an offering, and God, in his great compassion, is compassionate over him. U'mochel achalek shelo shehu chalek harishani. And he is mochel him, he forgives him on the godly portion of the korban, which is the life force part of it, the spiritual, the soul. V'day shemivi chalek hagashmi. And it's enough for the poor person that he brings the material part, shehu kemach u'melech, that it is flour and salt, domem v'tomeach, which are not living things. A domem is salt, like a rock, like, that's how they play 20 questions in Israel. They say, chai domem tzomeach, domem chai tzomeach chai, something. And domem is like inanimate objects. That's what it is. And that's what the salt is. And tzomeach are plants. V'chal kavrushani, Hashem mevater lo. And the spiritual aspect, Hashem is mevater. Remember how I explained that before? So that now fits in much perfectly the language of the Gemara with how the Rav Taktiel is explaining it. Hashem is mevater. Hashem gives up on that aspect of it for the sake of the poor person. V'lechach be'ani yukshar asirit efa lekorban. And therefore, for a poor person, the tenth of an efa of flour is perfectly okay as an offering, ki ein lo yoter, because he doesn't have anything else. V'zehu ma'amar midrash, and that's what the midrash says, ve'el elokeinu ki arbed lisloach, and to our God who is great for forgiving, Ki marbe mechila lemaod. He is very great at forgiving. Vizehu asirit ha'efa. And this is represented in the mincha. She'en bo chalak haruchani klal, which has no spiritual part of it at all. Ve'eno ra'ui lekarban, and should not be fitting as a korban. Nikomakom. In any case, berov chamlato, marbe mechila u'mevater mishalo. In his great compassion, he increases his forgiveness, and he's mevater, he gives up on that which is his. Ratzon lomar achalek hagavoa, that is to say, on the higher portion. Al kein divrei pi chacham chen. And this, I think, was all in the name of the Avishter. Not the Avishter, that means God. Rav Avishetz. Hayotze midvarav ki korban ha'ani chaser chalek ha'nafshi sheva korban. And what comes out of his words is that the offering of the poor person is missing this spiritual element of the korban. V'rak mirov rachamav, and it's only from this great mercy, al ha'oni, on the poor person, hu mevater lo al chelko hazeh, that he excuses him from this portion of it. V'ze b'hakatuv lehodianu, and this is why the pasuk comes to inform us, ki maleh ha'kadosh baruch hu alav ki ilu hikriv nafsho. And that's why the Gemara says it's as if he has offered his own soul, the poor person. Mimela yesh kan gam chalaka nefesh. And therefore, in and of itself, because the poor person is giving up so much in giving up just this amount of flour, it's as if he's giving up his own soul, and that is the spiritual element in the poor person's offering. And that's why it all fits in. It's beautiful. Okay, now to conclude, my favorite, the Chashukei Chamed, and we're going to relate it to Purim. So the Chashukei Chamed is Rav Zilberstein. I think he might even still, Zilberman or Zilberstein, he might even still be alive in Yerushalayim, and I think he is, and he takes questions that he's gotten, or according to some people that he's made up, and he organizes them in the Chashukei Chamed according to how they appear in the Gemara. And he has another one, the Harevna, that you might have heard of. It's been translated into English, where he organizes it according to the Parsha. So this is organized according to the Gemara. And this is a beautiful story based on the Gemara that we've been learning throughout this shir. Ma'ale ani alav ki ilu hikriv nafsho lefanai. I put it, the pasuk is upon him as if he offered his soul before me. Shalach, and you can see it's from Menachot Kuftali Bet, which is our Gemara. Shalach tznun rakuv kemishloach manot im yatza yidei chova. A person who sent a rotting radish as his mishloach manot, has he fulfilled his obligation? Okay, so here's this great story. She'ela, here's the question. Maaseh she'ya b'Purim lifnei kemea shana. This was an incident that happened over Purim over 100 years ago. She'yudim rabim toshvei ha'ir tzina she'v'teman. Been in the news a lot lately, right? So these are citizens of the city Sina in Yemen. Heviu mishluchei manot l'rabam ha'gaon Rabbi Shlomo al-Kara. So they would come and bring mishloach manot to their esteemed genius rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo al-Kara. There was a very poor Jew who also wanted to bring to his Rav Mishloach Manot, aval beito haya rekam, but his house was empty. The only thing he found is an entire house was a rotting radish. Az hu lakcho, but he took it. Atafoto b'mapit na'e, he wrapped it up in a nice napkin. And he placed it on a plate. And when it was hurt his turn, he gave to his Rav the covered plate. The Rav's face lit up and he blessed him warmly. And when it was the next man's turn after him, his own mishloach manot, when he gave it to the Rav, Baruchu HaRav, the Rav blessed him, v'natan lo mishloach manot chozer et ha-mishloach shekibel me'ani. The Rav gave this next man in line, poor guy, the mishloach manot he received from the poor person. U'kishe patcho, and when he opened it, ra'o sheyesh sham hatzanun harakav, rakuv, he saw this rotting radish on the plate. Miad amar HaRav, So the Rav was witnessing this, and he immediately said, "Ksvarim atam shebikesh lifgoabi? Do you think that that poor person was trying to hurt me? Chalila v'chas, God forbid. Zo minchato. This is his mincha, his gift, minchat oni, the mincha, the gift of the poor. Ki larash in kol, because for the poor people, they don't have anything. Umincha zo hi hachashuva beoter. And this is the most important gift. Ve'aleha ne'amar, and upon it, it says in our parsha, v'nefesh ki takriv korban mincha la'ashem, the soul who brings as an offering a mincha to God, and see Rashi there, et nafsho hikriv ima. He brings his soul with it. Me'ata, from now, im lichvodi tikanu. If for my honor you are zealous, mal'o beito bekoltov. Go fill his house, this poor person's house, with everything good. V'yachola v'mishloch manot mehodar yoter. And then he'll be able to bring a nicer mishloch manot. Tziva harav, the Rav commanded, v'hakol shalchu mishlochei manot lebeito she'oto ani. And everyone sent their mishloch manot to this same poor person. V'gadshu mitzarchei mazon. And his house became crowded with all kinds of food. V'kaimu bo, gam. And therefore the community was able to fulfill two at once, mishloch manot ish l'reihu, v'gam matanot le'avionim, gifts to the poor. They fulfilled both of those commandments. And then he goes into a whole thing about whether the ani actually did fulfill his obligation by bringing the rabbi the rotted radish. But it's a beautiful story about how this rav truly understood what it meant for a nefesh to bring a mincha in this very timely and modern sense of Purim of Mishloach Manot. So we should all be grateful that we are able to give gifts to our friends and also gifts to the poor. And hopefully these sources brought us to an elevated state of mind in terms of how we look at the poor person and how we look at the poor person's gifts and appreciate them. So thank you very much.